Hello, Emily here. It is my hope to hash out a bit what is meant by the idea of skole in this time. Skole was not something we had always sought after as a family in our homeschool, and it certainly wasn't anything I grew up with. Although I will say an introduction to the arts and things of beauty was definitely a part of my childhood in many ways. It wasn't until later in life that I really realized what a gift this was that not all children are privy to. One of my finest memories as a child most closely linked to what I now call a skole experience would probably be awakening on Sunday mornings to classical masterpieces played on our stereo system by my dad, Handel's Water Music being my personal favorite, and sharing in cinnamon buns as a family before heading out to church. There was a formality, a ritual, and a comforting expectancy to the Sunday morning routine that has left a lasting imprint on my heart. But we had begun to see glimpses of skole, the restful and contemplative learning spoken about in scripture, and so sought after by the ancient Greeks, in our home and homeschool these past few years. So what is this skole? Skole is actually a Greek word, and in the words of Dr. Christopher Perrin, it is an undistracted time to study the things most worthwhile, usually with friends, and with good food and drink. It is a slower learning, shifting from assessment-focused to delight-focused. And it is actually where we get the word for our modern-day school. However, unfortunately, now there is not much skole in our schools. Or, as Joseph Pieper, a German philosopher, wrote, skole is a contemplative beholding. It is the practice of opening oneself up to receive insight and truth, and to see this as a gift. Skole assumes that human beings are designed to puzzle, to wonder, to design, to contemplate, and to reflect. Skole is not about useful utilitarianism and qualitativeness, but rather a pause of the chronos, or chronological, always moving forward time, to enter into the kairos, the non-moving, pivotal, sacred time, seemingly immeasurable by length, so that we may together behold beauty, weighted by truth, with wings to soar with purpose and direction into goodness, which is our vocation or calling. Philosophy must certainly dance with practice, however. How do we take these ideas and do them practically? Well, for starters, do less at one time. That idea of much, not many. We integrate. Within your family, are you moving towards one another with one aim or telos? Or are the members acting more independently and thus moving apart? Within our curriculum, can we study the same things and read the same books so we are all a part of the same conversation? Can we see the subjects not as standalone fragments, but integrated parts that build upon and shed light to the others? Can we seek to create space, to rest, to seek truth, to recognize goodness, to behold beauty, and to be present to others in conversation, celebration, and feasting throughout our days and our weeks? After a few years of working this idea of skole out in my own heart and practices, and then working it into our family's unique persons, values, goals, and rhythms, I feel like we have begun paving the way of a truly special, dare I say sacred, set-apart time to rest, gaze, reflect, commune, fellowship, and dwell together in many different outpourings of the true, the good, and the beautiful. We have done this mostly through our morning collective time, which we now call morning skole, and through bi-monthly tea times in which we also share in special foods with decorative table settings. This sharing of food, it matters, not so much that it has to be elaborate, but in the sense that there is something about coming around the table and sharing in conversation and food. It adds to the atmosphere. And with little ones, it keeps them engaged longer. And I definitely work that to my advantage. The sweets get served last. And my children have learned it isn't good manners to ask for something to be served before the host, which is me, offers it. These times also have given me the opportunity to present varied, flavorful, savory, sustaining, and soul-nourishing truths through prayer, Bible reading, poetry, literature, music, art, and discussion, hopefully whetting their appetite of learning in the hearts of those present, present with the ultimate end goal of cultivating a space for worship, thanksgiving, and praise. As we open up our hearts to receive truth, goodness, and beauty, we also engage our minds and thus share an engaging and enlightening conversation, which in turn nourishes our souls. I'm almost always astounded at what comes out of my children's heart during these times. I leave our times of skole feeling like I've learned more from their keen observations, their innocent reflections, and their staggering connections than they have gleaned from me. Children are deeper wells than our current culture likes to believe. But like a well, the water needs to be drawn out, and I am learning to protectively create space for that with my children. Furthermore, the set apartness of this time draws us into a place of deeper contemplation as a family, and we grow in intimacy and fellowship with one another. In communing together over shared experiences, our hearts become more knit together. I learn more about the inner workings of their thoughts and they mine. We become less individual and more united. We long and yearn for these connections when weeks fly by and we haven't had the opportunity to commune in this way. All I can say, when you encounter truth, goodness, and beauty, which is God, you will desire to encounter it again. Our soul yearns for connections with our Creator. Perhaps Psalm 84 says it best. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. The impact left by these times together far outweighs just covering a curriculum or checking off some boxes, the benefits of which I can see manifest itself in a myriad of ways later on. When learning connects not only in the mind, but also in the heart and soul, its impact is so much greater. The experiences and conversations we have shared over our school day experiences as a family continue to pour into our present learning journeys. Stories, images, words, songs, they all weave themselves into our daily lives, giving wings, ideas, and thoughts that might not have taken flight otherwise. These are a few ways in which we have begun massaging skole into the fibers of our own family and homeschooling rhythms, but I truly feel like we are only skimming the surface of this deep well, and it is with great eagerness of a studium, meaning eager, one who desires to learn more, I desire to continue to delve deeper. This, however, of course, does not mean that all we do is rest and contemplate. We are, of course, actually called to work. The work of the vita activa, or the active life, is business, orientation toward the necessities of the present life, rationalizing with a reaching hand, and the under-the-sun mindset. The work of the vita contemplativa, or the contemplative life, is the searching for truth and a gazing upon beauty, a pondering and a savoring with an open hand, and an orientation towards the eternal, the under-heaven mindset. Both are necessary. It is a call, however, to harmonize a restful life with an active life. We can think of it as a 1-in-7 balance. St. Augustine stated, ora et labora, which means pray and work. Or perhaps we can say, work, play, skole. Surely we can set aside 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a term to pause, rest, reflect, contemplate, behold, and celebrate. But do we? Devin O'Connell wrote in his book, Age of Martha, A Call to a Contemplative Learning in a Frenzied Culture. When that work, which in itself is not bad, becomes our master, when labora, work, subordinates and eclipses ora, prayer, and when work is unaccompanied by purposeful Sabbath and leisure, we are then cut off from being fully human, restrained from fulfilling our potentials as images of God, who is not just material matter, but has essence and eternal purpose. How then do we recover this in the lives of our children? Well, first we have to know and experience it ourselves before we can fully model this to our children and begin to implement it in our family rhythms. This is one of the hopes of Stillwater Skole in our weekly parent mentorship online gatherings, to seek out rest or scolae together, fostering the ideal that the faculty, which is you all as parents, as our faculty is the parents as they embody the role of a teacher in their home. So the faculty of the school is a fellowship of friends. So as we seek out Christ, the great pedagogue, the teacher of the little ones, and we as little ones ourselves then share what we've been growing and learning in with our children, the inner workings of our relationships, our families, our homeschools, and our communities will surely be impacted. I will close with another quote from O'Connell's book, where he actually closed his book by stating, "Scolae is itself a way of seeing the world, but it does not look upon things with a hungry eye, consuming a beautiful painting, for instance, and moving on to devour some other new attraction or activity. Scolae must be rooted in love, which is Christ. Love is patient. It is not hurried or worried. It is not anxious or distracted. Leisure moved by love is essentially receptive, finding wisdom through the patience of slowing down and intentionally giving room for contemplation. When confronted with doing more or seeing more, Mary, from the Mary and Martha story in the Bible, chooses to limit her gaze, to look with the eyes of her heart and mind in worship. Scolae anchors the activity of learning to the aim, telos, which means end goal, of worship. Education guided by these principles will result in the right instructional practices, just as Mary's love for the Lord led her to the right and highest activity. And sitting at the feet of Christ proved no waste of time. Our souls are restless until they find rest in you." I'll close with that quote by St. Augustine.